So, on that note, on the season of Lent and everything that has to do with that, whatever it is you're giving up, whatever miracles that you experience, we're hoping for a miracle when it comes to this Lenten Outreach project. And everyone say hi, Matt. Matt is our missions director here at Hope, and Matt is, man, you're always coming and going, right? Where have you been lately?
I just got back from Ghana, West Africa, where we have our partner GlobeServe, and we were inspecting a bunch of churches. We did about 32 church inspections, so we were in 32 different communities, seeing where we're continuing to build churches, and then about 8 different wells got dedicated, so literally thousands of people access to water. But that's happening all the time, which, not to get transition to the, okay, there you go. Not to transition into what I was going to talk about, but I am going to transition. First of all, let me say, all of you campus pastors, you guys should write a book on dad jokes, because they come off like just real smooth. I look at it and I think to myself, man, I'm getting there. So I'll keep working on it. Okay. What's awesome about Hope is that we have, you all know how important missions is to our ethos here. And when I was just in Ghana, that was a project from 3 years ago that is still happening today. The impact is still impacting literally thousands of people 3 years after it kind of came off of our big focus radar. And that's in some ways a challenge as the missions director is, how do I help keep all of you connected to all the amazing things that are going on? But frankly, that's a challenge for us as a missions team, because we have great systems in place, we have great partners that deliver and follow through, but the impact outside of our walls, I just want to make sure that you understand, is just so magnitude. And none of that could happen if you weren't doing your job so faithfully and so well. So we are better together. Amen? Okay, so I wanted to talk about our Lent project for this year. So every year when we approach a project, we're looking at the needs around us. We're asking, what are the greatest needs in our community and in our world? And this time we're going to be focusing on a local project. And in the last several years, so many meetings that I've been in with mayors and city leaders, housing continues to be a top concern and a top need. But first we have to ask ourselves, is this working? Where do you point it? What does the Bible say about housing? Is this even something that the church should care about? Is this something that we should be involved in? And so what I'd like you to do is to research that at your table. You all have these wonderful tools in your pockets, phones, and there are Bible search apps. So at your table, spend a little bit of time searching for, okay, so let's say I wanted to have a sense of, does God care about housing or top housing Bible verses? And see what you come up with, and then talk at your tables and maybe identify one or two that you could call out. Ready? Go. Okay, why don't you go ahead and identify maybe one as a group, and then I'll have some people shout out. Let the record show that Mike is going completely off of memory here. You've taken your sermon this weekend seriously. Yes. Yeah. Practicing what you preach is always good. It's good for all of us. Okay, yes. Ben, is that a hand? Okay, sure. Yeah, sure. Yep, we're ready. Doorposts. Love it. Writing on doorposts. That's going to connect into what we're doing a little later. What else? Yes. (90:1) or (91) Yeah. 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 So it's interesting that they would use the word home as the sense of that place, the place of home. Yeah, that's great. Two more. Yes. Score. That made it to the, that's on the board later. Levi. Yeah, absolutely. That makes the board too. Mike, what was the, what you said one? Okay. And you sometimes have been that someone. I love it. I'm added to the books. Added to the books. Okay, so some of these were already said, but I will just go through these really quick. So John 14:1-2, Jesus says this: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms, and if that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you?" So if God's even preparing a place for us, an eternal home for us, then our homes here on earth clearly matter. Hebrews 4:3-4, "For every house is built by someone." We've talked about that. But God is the builder of everything. "My people will live in peaceful dwellings." So having peaceful and secure homes is important as well. "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builder labors in vain." From Matthew, "The rains come," again, that scripture, building on a solid foundation, on Christ the solid rock. And then in Matthew 12:25, Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, but every city or household divided against itself will not stand." And then again, the Joshua verse, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day who you will serve, the gods of your ancestors, or, but for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This is our campaign this year. Our Lent project is Hope Lives Here. It's a partnership with Habitat for Humanity to bring sustainable housing solutions in multiple facets to the Riverbend neighborhood near downtown Des Moines. It's going to be an incredible project. One of the things that's on your, I'll first talk briefly, on your tables, there's one copy of this bigger piece of paper, and it's important to note that Habitat's not reinventing a wheel here. They're playing a role. We play a part as a church. There's private and public sector coming together to address the housing issues of our community. And we have with us Lance from Habitat, who will be speaking in a moment, who will help us understand the need greater. But I want to make sure that you see that this is from a Housing Tomorrow plan. This was in 2015 that Polk County put together a holistic solution for our community. This wasn't really something that we had until about that time. And what we're going to be participating in are kind of that point two on there, which is helping property owners repair their homes, having resources for that. And then also in step three, being able to build and preserve affordable housing close proximity to jobs, transit, and services. So to hear more about the need, would you help me welcome up Lance Henning, the president and executive director for the Greater Des Moines Habitat.
Thankful to be here and for the partnership. I feel like I have to bring a dad joke to be a part of the partnership here. All right, so how does a penguin build a house? it glues it together. Yeah.
Raise the bar. That's good.
All right, Habitat for Humanity. Hopefully many folks have heard about Habitat for Humanity. Our mission is putting God's love into action by bringing people together to build homes, communities, and hope. Our methodology and motivation for Habitat for Humanity is putting God's love into action out there and showing God's love to the community. And really the way that we approach that is folks think of us building houses, but it's really helping to build the bridges and connecting the folks that just need a little bit of a hand up with those that want to make a difference and change, make change in lives. And then that impact is really shown through the building the homes and the communities and hope. Our vision is everyone has a decent place to live. And you think about that and some of the information you see in the Tomorrow Plan and what's going on, that's getting harder. Since in the last 50 years, the cost of housing has gone up 70-fold. Incomes have gone up 10-fold. So the gap to be able to afford housing has gotten wider and wider. And when that translates to the Des Moines area, there's 40,000 individuals that are paying too much for housing, paying more than they can afford. And when you get into the serious of how much they pay, we think about when someone is paying more than 50% of their income, that's severe cost burden. There's 10,000 families in the Des Moines area that are paying more than 50% of their income to cover their housing. So with Habitat for Humanity, folks, we are helping in two ways when we're trying to transform a neighborhood. It's through our home ownership that a lot of folks think about us and building houses with volunteers, and people pay what they can afford to buy a house. And then it's also through our repair program that we call Rock the Block, where folks are helping, we're doing repairs on homes to help them stay and maintain in their house, and at the same time, that's uplifting the neighborhood and being able to do that. So this year, we hope to serve more than 350 families, both through the home ownership and the repair program, and we're very thankful for your partnership to help be a part of that. And when you think what happens on the cost of housing and when someone can pay what they can afford, what that means is that they can be there and go to the soccer game. They can be there to help their child study instead of having to go to their second or third job. When they have a house that they can afford, it means that they can, instead of using the emergency room as their primary care physician, that they can have health insurance and take regular checkups and be proactive. And when they have a house that they can afford and a place that they can afford to live, that at the same time, they don't have to go and get the cheapest processed food off the store shelf and can be eating healthier foods. All that translates into the impact that it has on the children that are living in the house. And children that are in a stable house, so when you think of Isaiah 32 and a peaceful dwelling, you think about that as being safe, stable on there. Children are 25% more likely to graduate from high school and 112% more likely to graduate from college. So a house is foundational when you think about someone's future and their hope, and we are just excited to be partnering with Lutheran Church of Hope and your Lent project and being able to make a difference to transform neighborhoods and change lives. So thank you very much.
So stay up here a second. So tell me a little bit about, because I think this question would come up, the kind of people that, how do you guys qualify people to receive, let's say, a Habitat home, for example? What do they have to do, too, to get that?
We work with people earning less than 60% of the area median income. On our repair program, that can be any income. And on the repair side, we see a lot of seniors that we're working with, and that is folks that have usually lived in the neighborhood a really long time, and that they're having a struggle to be able to maintain their home, and that they don't have another place they can go to. And on the homeownership side, a typical family we're working with is a hard-working family in a low-wage earning position, making about $30,000. And so when they get into a Habitat mortgage and paying back what they can afford, usually the amount they're paying for housing is reduced significantly. And those families, they do sweat equity, and they are also then, they are paying back what they can afford on there. So the family qualifies through our family selection committee that is really looking at the need for housing, the ability to pay, and their willingness to partner, which includes the sweat equity and also the home buyer's education classes that we go through. There's 24 hours of group class time where we're looking at how to protect your asset, personal finance and budget. So we look at a lot of detail, helping them to track their personal finances. And then also being able to do the sweat equity side and think about what it means to be a good neighbor and understanding what it takes to be a part of a neighborhood and revitalizing a neighborhood on there.
So these are long-term, so these people are going to own their homes, and so they could technically move out of them, but these are long-term relationships that are being formed with these families. This isn't just a, I think I was talking to somebody and they said, well, do you just sign up and then you just get a house? And I was like, oh no, it's really not that simple. This is the home is a really big deal. And because it's a really big deal, you guys take it really seriously. If you could share some of the statistics on how long or what percentage of people are still in their homes, and you shared a little bit about what that kind of impact makes for them as a whole, but maybe do you know off the top of your head about how many people stay in their homes or what that looks like long-term?
Yeah. So on the home ownership side, when folks go through there, they're vested in their home. They are in a place they can't afford, and so folks do stay. And so for the Habitat homes in the Des Moines area, 96% of the families are the original families in the home. So when they are there and they were part of the process on the front side, and then also then because that is some place that they are not paying too much and they can be able to do other aspects. And just real quick on just one story on Christine is one of the families that we worked with, and on that cost of housing aspect, when she was going through the program, she had two middle school children, a daughter and a son. Son was getting D's and F's, daughter was getting C's and D's. Mom was not too happy about it and was sharing that. She got into her Habitat home, it reduced the monthly payment, and one of the first things that we went over to visit and see how Christine was doing, well, the first thing we saw was it was actually a cold winter day when we went to visit, and she had her cabinet doors under her kitchen sink open, and it was because the drafty apartment she used to stay in, she had to do that so that her pipes didn't freeze. So you don't have to do that in a well-insulated Habitat home. Then she shared that the kids were doing better in school, and so the daughter was now getting B's and C's. The son was getting mostly C's. He still had a D she wasn't happy about. And so automatically thinking about all these studies that show the statistics that kids do better in school and home ownership, that was where I was going with it. And Christine said, no, it's the first time that I ever had a little bit of disposable income, and we went and bought new clothes for the kids instead of going to Goodwill or getting a hand-me-down down there. And it was about how they felt about themselves, and that impacted how they were doing in school.
Thanks, Lance. Let's thank Lance for coming with us today. Thanks. So it's the stories that matter. You know, that these are real people. This isn't just a number. Whether we're in Ghana, whether we're around the bend of our homes, these are our neighbors. These are real people. And we have the opportunity to make a real difference. That's why I wanted to share the percentage. 96%, that is hyper good for housing solutions, especially when it's such a transient sector normally. So I wanted to share, Eric, can you go to our website? I wanted to share our website. The website is now live, and it is lutheranchurchofhope.org/lent. If you guys want to all get your phones out and try to go there right now, and we'll see if that breaks the interwebs or not. Shandy's not so sure. It will not work. Oh, it won't break it. That's good. Good. So Lent 2019, Hope Lives Here. The scripture that we have that we're focusing on is that for every house has a builder, and the one who built everything is God, Hebrews 3:4. I'm going to just read to you what it says there, because Carly and the communications team has done a fantastic job of taking a really robust project and making it understandable. This Lent, we are participating with Habitat for Humanity to raise money to initiate a total neighborhood transformation near downtown Des Moines. The money raised will go towards building new homes as well as repairing existing ones in the River Bend neighborhood. By working together, we will play a major role in building better futures for an entire neighborhood. An entire neighborhood. Think about that. Literally, an entire neighborhood, because the church decided to do something about the challenges they're facing. Opportunities to serve also exist by building and renovating the home, these homes in the fall. So the timeline, not to get ahead of myself, but maybe I am, the timeline for the repair, we're asking for two things. I want to be very clear. We're asking for money. If we don't have money, we cannot achieve our objectives. We've set a lofty goal of $500,000 to raise for this project. That would be insane if we get it, but I think we can. And along with that, we also want people to give of their time to help build. It's a twofold thing. We need money and time. If we only end up with one and not the other, we're not going to accomplish our objective. So, okay, about Habitat for Humanity. Housing is one of the most basic needs we as individuals have and the single largest expense for most households. While Iowa is known as an affordable place to live, many Iowans still struggle to pay their bills each month. Families are often faced with tough choices between their home, medical care, food, or transportation. One unexpected expense can send a family hurling towards eviction or homelessness. Habitat for Humanity helps address this issue by uplifting low-income Des Moines families. All Habitat homebuyers, buyer families earn between 30 and 60% of area median income for their family size and demonstrate a need for housing by currently living in substandard or cost-burdened housing. To be eligible for Habitat at Home, all families must complete home ownership classes to equip them for the necessary knowledge and education to work towards financial stability. Again, our goal is the $500,000, which will provide enough funds, this is cool, this is the fun part, to build three entire homes and to complete 40 repairs for current homes within the Riverbend neighborhood. To give you an idea of what these repairs might be, maybe it's windows for winterization for an elderly couple that can no longer afford their energy bill. They're on a fixed income. Costs have continued to go up. They could sell their house. Maybe they own their home. But then where are they going to move? What are they going to do if they aren't living there? It is a lot cheaper and is a lot better for them and for our community as a whole to help them to create a more sustainable long-term solution. So new houses, the energy or new windows, the energy bill goes down and really transformed life. Same thing with like accessibility ramps, ability to actually get in and out of houses that maybe are have a bunch of steps. Solutions like that are some of the things that Habitat works with. Where am I at? The Riverbend neighborhood is near downtown Des Moines. Our hope is that by the end of this project, more than 43 families will feel the everlasting love of Jesus Christ through the prayers, generous giving, and service hours provided through Hope Lives Here. Three ways to get involved: pray, give, and serve. So at the bottom there, you see give. That's a link to the online giving, which you're used to. But go ahead and click the volunteer button. That is a really key difference between this Lenten project and other Lenten Advent projects we've had in the past. Building will start in the fall. We don't have an exact building timeline yet. We have to raise the money to know what all we're building for sure. That makes sense, right? But we want to capture the momentum while people are thinking about it. So while people are thinking about being engaged, getting in the game, getting their hands dirty, getting sawdust on themselves, we want them to be able to sign up. And so there's a sign-up form there, and we want to point the congregation towards that. There's also a really cool box because you have to be so old. What's the age to Lance? Is it 16? 16 to be able to serve on a work site, building a house. So that limits some of our congregation. We're working with Habitat to find other solutions to engage younger children so that they can also be a part of this. So there's actually a spot you can check to say, I'd be interested in learning more about opportunities for younger people. So we've thought of that too. So this is a great place to be looking and engaging and sending people. We also have, is campus on there? No, it's not. Yes, select campus. So we'll also be able to select campus, which will be a real big resource for you because we can share this data with you. You'll know who in your community is saying, hey, I'm ready to get in the game. These might be great people that you could also follow up with and say, hey, would you be interested in being an usher? Might be people that you can look at that and say, hey, these people have said they're willing to take the next step. How can we engage those people? So back to the doing church as a team aspect, we can do this better together, and this can be really helpful for us all. So wanted you guys to know that as well. Now, I'd like to hand it off to Amanda, who's going to talk about kind of the creative ways that we're going to be sharing this with the congregation and how we can all get involved.
Hello. Sorry, no dad jokes for me. And I'll skip the mom jokes. Anyways, so we like every Lent and Advent mission project, we like to be able to help the congregations really tangibly connect to the projects, beside just giving money and time, but to be able to somehow connect with it during the season. So this year with Habitat, they're making it really, really easy. They build their walls in advance. So on Friday, they are going to deliver walls for a house to our loading dock. And each of the campuses has the opportunity to get one of those walls to take back to your campus, or studs if you prefer not a wall, but you want to put some studs on a table and have people sign. Yeah. Okay. Moving on. So the idea is to have those walls available for people to sign with Sharpies, a prayer, a blessing, a scripture, back to the Deuteronomy 6, writing, you know, God's word on our doorposts, on our walls, everything. So those will be around on Friday. What time? Okay. So if the campus pastors or your representative could find me when we're done and we can nail down kind of what you would like. Anyways, I omitted that from my emails because I didn't want to be really corny, but I'll say it here. Anyways, that would be great because we'll have a little bit of extra time. But here we're going to put a display on our mission wall with one of the walls, and it has two doors, and one of them in that space will have an iPad or a tablet that links to this, or that has the form that Matt showed, so that people can right there sign up to help in the fall. And then the other will be the coloring books that Communication has designed to go along with it, and all the Communications people should know about that, so you can connect with Carly if you haven't already. And anything else? No? Okay. To leave here today, we have some studs that will be used to make the walls for our third house, back on those tables with blue tablecloths. And I would like to invite you all to grab a Sharpie and write a prayer or a blessing on one of those studs, and then Habitat will take that and have those built next month after our event is finished. Then, or after our project gets kind of finished off, they'll take those back and build the last wall. So with that, I just wanted Matt to pray us out, and then feel free to stop, and I'll be up here if you want to talk about your wall delivery. Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be up here. Thanks, Amanda. Lance and I will be up here as well if you have additional questions about what we're doing, how we're doing it, and all of that kind of stuff as well. But let's wrap up by praying together for this project and for just the season of Lent that we're about to enter. God, we are so thankful, Lord, for how you're on the move in this place and in your people. God, you hear the cries and the needs of the people that you so love, and that includes us. And you're responding through your Holy Spirit, through your power, and through your empowering of us, Lord. So would you continue to have your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven, we pray. God, bless this Lenten project. Hope lives here. God, would you bring the resources, the labor, and the money to make a total transformation of a neighborhood? God, would you continue to bring people into your house of worship, to grow deeper in relationship with you, deeper in love with you, that they would have transformed hearts and that their homes would also be transformed. God, we love you. We give you all the glory, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Go sign a stud. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Matt and Amanda. How exciting to be a part of a church that gets to do something like this. It really is an opportunity for us to change a neighborhood and to change the lives of the people who live there in our own community, and to do so in a way where it's highly participatory, all campuses can go all in. I encourage you to not just sit back on this. I hope you didn't just gloss over the audaciousness of the goal. $500,000 is a lot of money. $500,000 to be raised in a church, no matter how big, is a ton of dough. And please pray about that. Please be leaders in that way too. I pray that as you ask God, what do you want to do through me to accomplish your will for this project, and I encourage you to pray that prayer, that you will also encourage others around you to do the same. Leadership demands that we lead, and servanthood demands that we serve. And so let's do both, and let's be the church, and let's embrace this project and not see it as something missions is doing, or something that Creative Arts is doing, or something that some other, you know, area of ministry is doing. This is something we are all doing together as a church. It is God's love for us and God's love through us. So thanks, everybody. Go, I'm not going to say, go sign a stud. Go ahead and do that right now on your way. Leela, you have something to say? Okay, thank you. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, Lance. Thanks, Amanda. Thanks for coming, everybody. Blessings on your day and week ahead, and happy Lent. Lent means spring. It's going to get better. Oh, don't forget the Lenten devotionals are coming out too, right? They'll be online as well. So encourage your folks to follow along on the devotionals. For tomorrow, for Ash Wednesday, I wrote a poem.